You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
This is hour number two of The Rob Carson Show. I hope you had a glorious weekend. I watched some TV with my son. It was a lot of fun. We've been able to reconnect. I'm really, really... It's a gift. And this weekend, we started watching Fallout, all right? Based on, loosely, on a video game, right? So I watched the first episode. It's pretty good. I'm thinking, okay, you know, I won't be able to relate to this because I'm not a gamer, all of that. And then 7 episodes later, I ended up staying up later than he did watching it. I'm like, okay, let's watch another one. He's like, Dad, I'm getting a little tired. No. Do whatever it takes. Here's some cold water. Splash right in his face. Smack him upside the head. Drink some caffeine. We're staying up. We're watching really good TV. I mean, really good TV. The Bear. I also watched The Bear with him. That's really good TV. I was talking to my boss, Lee, and I said, dude, you got it. Second season, episode 6. Jamie Lee Curtis and Bob Odenkirk. Emmy award-winning performances. Very hard show to watch, particularly those of you who maybe come from a background where there's a hopeless alcoholic matriarch of the family. But the acting is so good, the writing is so good, and I just enjoyed taking a break and watching some good television. It's good television. A lot of crap out there. I get it. You know, but I'm going to tell you, I'm on the side of, I hate the leftism of Hollywood, but I do respect, like, people who stand-up comedy. Listen to a lot of stand-up comedy this weekend. Anybody who dips their toes into the performance medium, generally, you're not going to make a lot of money. Most of them don't. Radio, stand-up comedy, acting. But I do respect those who do it and do it well. So enjoyed it. Fallout. I really can't wait to watch another episode. I really enjoyed the show. I got a lot of things I want to get to. We know that the Israel shot down 300 missiles, inbound missiles from Iran. And the United States is saying, declare that a win. Okay, Iran just tried to sucker punch Israel like Hamas did on October the 7th. And the United States is literally telling Israel, yeah, you know what? Take it as a win. I don't know about you, but generally, if somebody attacks you and commits attempted murder, you know what you do? You kick their butts. And I think most are beginning to realize that the United States, this president, is not on the side of the Jewish people or the state of Israel. I am, and most of us are. This is CBS. New polling on Joe Biden trying to straddle the fence between Hamas and the Jewish people.
Our new CBS News poll, taken before the Iran strikes, show that only a third of Americans approve of President Biden's handling of the conflict.
But 100% of Hamas and 100% of radical Islamists in places like Dearborn approve.
That's down 5 points since February. In fact, within his own party, more Democrats now sympathize, quote, a lot with the Palestinian people. That's a larger number than sympathize a lot with the Israelis.
Yeah, there you go. There's your Democrat Party. They are on the side of Hamas. And if you are a Jew and you still vote for Democrats, then you know what? You're killing yourselves. Right? Honestly? This is what self-loathing liberals do. They literally, it is like... it's like the syndrome, you know, where they, I'm trying to remember the name of it right now, I'm drawing a blank, but when you sympathize with your captors, Brian, help me out. I'm trying to remember, it's a syndrome, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's what it is. Or better yet, when women fall for men on death row and they think that maybe they can change them. That's the way liberals are, and that's the way self-loathing Jews are with Hamas. That we can change him, we can make him better, and you know what happens? You end up getting murdered, and most people get that. And unfortunately, your Democrat Party seems to be completely down with Hamas, and it's sickening. And I want you to listen to this. This is what has happened in Dearborn, Michigan since September the 11th. Welcome to Dearborn, America's jihad capital. This according to ZeroHedge.com. Imams and politicians in the Michigan City side with Hamas against Israel and Iran and the United States. Thousands march in support of Hamas, Hezbollah in Iran. Protesters, many wearing kippahs, covering their faces, shout Intifada, Intifada from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free and America is a terrorist state. Local imams give fiery anti-Semitic sermons. This isn't the Middle East. This is Dearborn, Michigan. A local headline describing an October the 10th event at the Ford Performing Arts Center last year, reading, Michigan rally cheers Hamas attack. Imam Imran Salha of Dearborn's Islamic Center of Detroit told the crowd that Israel's past actions have put fire in our hearts and will burn that state, Israel, until its demise. Did you know that the Boston Marathon bombings anniversary happened on this date? Did you know that? Yeah. In May of 2023, Mr. Salha had urged his congregation to say amen in agreement with his prayer that Allah eradicate from existence the sick, disgusting Zionist regime. In October 2022, according to the Washington Free Beacon, his organization received $150,000 in funding from the Homeland Security Department's nonprofit security grants program. At another rally October the 14th in front of the Henry Ford Centennial Library, Imam Usana Abdullah Ghani also didn't hide his support for Israel's terrorist act or Hamas's terrorist actions against Israel. October the 7th, one of the days of God, and a miracle has come true. He described the attackers as honorable. He said they were lions defending the entire nation of Muhammad, the messenger. Yeah. Yeah. And this actually happened in Chicago over the weekend. This is why I say we're going to have a beatdown. And if our authorities won't do it, then the American citizens are going to have to do it. And if they bring violence to our cities, we're going to have to stop the violence. I'm not saying to act offensively in any way, but if they bring this crap to Chicago at the Democrat convention, oh, by the way, it's going to get big and ugly. It's going to make 1968 look like a Chuck E. Cheese birthday party. And you know, all of you Democrats in Chicago who voted for the idiot in charge there and every other Democrat who's been in charge of Chicago for the last 60 years, this is on you. This is on you. You've made cities like Chicago unlivable and allowed this crap to happen. But listen to this. Check this out. A frightening video has gone viral showing an organizer with Anti-War Committee Chicago teaching far-left activists how to chant death to America and death to Israel during an anti-war conference held at Teamsters Union headquarters in Chicago. Shabir Razvi, who serves as an organizer with Anti-War Committee Chicago, began to teach far-left activists how to chant death to America and death to Israel. Meanwhile, your freaking FBI goes after Catholics who go to traditional math. Oh, Brian says Stockholm Syndrome. That's where you... Thank you, Brian. I had a mental, whatever there for a second. A little brain fart, as it were. I was wondering what that smell was. So anyway, here is this buffoon in Chicago who's literally chanting people to say death to America, death to Israel. This is inciting a riot, okay? This is not protected speech. Saying that the 2020 election was unfair, protected speech. Saying that maybe the vaccine didn't work or COVID protocols were bullcrap, that's protected speech. Saying Black Lives Matter is a corrupt organization, protected speech. Saying the southern border is wide open is the truth and protected speech. But listen to this.
So I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those zombies.
Persian, that would be the language of Iran.
I'm a freak, whether they be Iranian or whatever, all right? Now, I don't drink margaritas, but we all know what a margarita is. We all know what a bar is. So you're going to say, Marg Bar.
Marg Bar.
Mars Bar. They used to make those. They were real tasty.
Marg Bar Israel.
Marg Bar Israel.
Marg Bar Israel.
Marg
Bar. That's death to Israel he's chanting there.
Marg Bar Israel.
Marg Bar Israel.
Marg Bar Israel.
Thank you.
What does that mean?
Yay, they're clapping. They think it's great. Yeah.
So... It has two meanings, depending on
the
gender.
It has two meanings.
Death to or down with.
So, death to or down with.
Can we get a Marg Bar arm recon?
can get a Mark Bar America. Yes, we can. Mark Bar America.
Mark Bar America.
Mark Bar America.
Mark Bar America.
Death to America. I got an idea. How about you go first? How about that? Like I said, I am done with my patience. You should be done with your patience. All I care about is protecting America and Israel. The Islamic Center for America, leading Dearborn Mosque, held a memorial service on December 30th for a Hezbollah operative killed by an Israeli airstrike. The Hadi Institute, which runs an Islamic Montessori school, sounds like what they're doing to kids in the Palestinian province or the area in Gaza, and bills itself as a youth community center, held a commemoration of the martyrs January the 5th. This event honored Quds Force Commander Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandis, whatever the hell his name is, leader of the Iran-backed Popular Mobilization Forces. The enemy is within. The enemy is within. Here is Senator John Kennedy talking about the United States literally supporting the enemies of Israel and America.
We have seen President Biden go wobbly into his support of Israel. And today, the White House has already leaked to the press early this morning that they're not going to participate in an Israeli response to what Iran just did. Wow. Now, let me say it again. More sheep is not going to solve the wolf problem. Yep. My advice to the president today for what it's...
And he won't take it because he has no idea what day it is.
Mr. President, don't. Stop it. Support Israel. With respect, go to Amazon and buy a spine online. Peace through weakness never works. Not with these hard men.
Yeah. History has taught us this lesson. Weakness never stops anything. Here is otherwise highly educated law professor Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz saying that if we keep going down this road, he might consider leaving the anti-Semitic Democrat Party.
The Democratic Party is at risk of becoming the pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, pro-Hamas party.
And they already are there, professor.
If it becomes that, it has an enemy in me, and it has an enemy in many others who have long supported the Democratic Party. It's turning Israel from a bipartisan issue into a partisan issue. Not good for Israel, not good for America, not good for Democrats like me who have been generally loyal to the Democratic Party for so many years.
And why is that?
You'll be betrayed, and we're not going to take it. So my oath to you, if the United States cuts back on military aid to Israel...
They've never given them any aid since the attack on October the 7th.
...doesn't go through with its obligation, legal, ethical, moral, to send these F-16 or whatever fighter jets to Israel and denies them the right to protect themselves against Hamas, I will actively campaign against Democratic candidates all over the country. If the administration in any way cuts back military aid from Israel, I will no longer be a member of the Democratic Party.
Dude, you should have left the party a long time ago. My God. I mean, you're a smart man, but with regard to the Democrat Party, you are, I don't know what you are. I don't know. I really don't. I like Alan Dershowitz. I really do. I do. But you're fooling yourself. Ann in Annapolis. Hello, Ann. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you, first of all, thank you for standing up for Israel. And I
yes.
am Jewish. I mean, I'm a proud Jew. And
yes.
And I think that, you know, I have problems with anybody that would support the Hamas. And when a Jewish person does it, it really drives me crazy. I think that there are a lot of liberal Jews, and that's because back when, people maybe needed to be more liberal to help people, to help them up somehow. I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah.
But now I have lost so many friends. I don't like to be, and this is Jewish and not Jewish, I don't like to be around people that are that stupid.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, people don't seem to realize, and they're not bringing it up, that Jews are they're not our biggest ally, but they are our best. Remember after 9/11, Israelis came over here to show us how to shore up our planes.
Yep.
Israel took people over there to teach them how to fight against terrorism. Israel was there for the United States. And,
yes.
And anybody doesn't understand how important that is as a foothold for the security around, you know, to take control from the controls on the Middle East. They're stupid, too.
Absolutely, Ann. Ann, listen, I got to run. I appreciate it. I'm going to tell you, if you've got people chanting death to America, death to Israel in the United States, that is a security problem that the federal government, the Department of Homeland Security, should pursue. They won't, because we have enemies within. So you and I are going to have to be vigilant. You and I are the ones who are going to have to beat this back. Let's take a break and come back, my friends. This is The Rob Carson Show.
If the left tells you to quiet down, get louder. It's the Rob Carson Show.
In Chicago, over the weekend, I don't know if you knew this, 43 people were shot. 43 people were shot. Nobody is crying out for whatever weapons ban, because they're just black kids shooting other black kids. That's what the Democrat Party thinks about that. They were hoping that another police shooting would happen, you know. That story last week, the guy in the car being pulled over, shot a black police officer in the shoulder. Literally, they tied a tourniquet, his blood was dripping down his arm, and the left and Brandon Johnson are saying, oh, another police shooting. What did he say about the 43 people who were shot this weekend? Nothing. Because the Democrat Party doesn't care about black people. Only if they're killed by a police officer, and they can make some political hay out of it. Duh. 6:30 Saturday morning, 29-year-old man, the Logan Square neighborhood, shot and killed. Police don't know what led up to it. 22-year-old man, 5:15 a.m. or p.m., multiple gunshot wounds. 22 years old, dead. Within minutes, two men opened fire to a 20-year-old man. Was taken to the hospital, pronounced dead. 12 hours later, police picked up 18 shots being fired at a shot spotter in Chicago's Back of Yards neighborhood. 11 people were shot outside a get-together in that area, and several of those kids were children. But don't worry, they're just black kids. That's your Democrat Party for you. Oh, here's Alan Dershowitz. He's saying that this attack on Israel by Iran, the 300 drones and missiles that the U.S. is saying, hey, take it as a victory, you shot them down. Alan Dershowitz saying maybe it's time we did something about a regime change in Iran.
This is an opportunity for regime change. This was a provocation. You know, this wasn't a response to an attack on a consulate. First, it wasn't a consulate.
Right.
Well, Iran attacked yeah. the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires.
Oh, yeah.
The highest court in Argentina on Thursday ruled, after hearing evidence, that was an Iranian attack on the Israeli embassy, not consulate, embassy. 23 people were killed.
Oh.
So Israel had a perfect justification for going after a military base disguised as a consulate. And this can't end simply with a draw, with a tie.
No.
There has to be regime change,
yes.
One way or another. And there has to be a destruction of Iran's nuclear arsenal. Otherwise, this is going to happen, but with nuclear weapons behind it. And this is a warning.
And you're just going to see a bright flash of light, and you won't hear anything in Tel Aviv. Honestly, this is how it happens. This is how it happens. Weak-ass people. This is what happens when Superman suddenly decides to be out of commission. The United States is Superman. Honestly, there's no better analogy. When Superman is working, when Superman is doing what he does, when Superman is not being attacked by Lex Luthor, he can save the world. But the United States is under attack from within. Perfect analogy. Superman is out of commission, so the world goes to hell in a handbasket. Yeah. This is Donovan Klingman. He's a University of Connecticut basketball player, and he talked about going to the White House last year and how clueless Joe Biden is.
Last year, after we won a national championship, went to the White House, took a picture with Joe Biden, team picture. Joe Biden talked to us for about 3 minutes, okay. And then right after that, he asked us for a picture again.
Hmm. What did he say in that 3 minutes?
Yeah. Completely ignored Coach Hurley. Really couldn't understand what he was saying, and then he said, all right, let's grab a picture.
Do you think he knows basketball?
Not much.
Yeah, there you go. Didn't even remember taking a picture a couple minutes earlier. That's dementia, kids. Thought you should know in case you've never experienced it before or seen anybody with it. Let's take a break and come back. Gordon Chang talking about the Chinese threat. That is coming up. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Hey, it's Tony Marino, host of the wildly popular Newsmax Daily podcast, available for free along with Jerry Callahan, Rob Carson, and other great podcasts at newsmax.com/listen or wherever you get podcasts.
It is a Monday edition of the Rob Carson Show, and what a red-hot start of the work week. One of my favorite guests, one of the people I always look for when he is doing appearances on Newsmax and other networks, Gordon Chang, joins us on the Newsmax hotline. He's got a new book. It's called China is Going to War. Welcome to the show, Gordon. How you doing, my friend?
I'm fine, Robin. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You know, I watched with my son the third Die Hard movie. Trust me, this will make sense. In the third Die Hard movie, you've got Jeremy Irons playing the villain, and he is doing riddles and distracting the police department of New York City, the people in charge of law and order, to distract them from what they're going after, which is the Federal Reserve Bank, right? I feel like China is distracting us with a bunch of nonsense to severely impact the United States. I won't say necessarily to take down the United States, but China is throwing up all sorts of distractions away from the economic and social destruction that they're causing in the United States. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I mean, what we have is China engaging in proxy wars around the world. So, for instance, it got Russia to invade Ukraine. We know that from the 5,300-word joint statement they issued just 20 days before the attack. That's the No Limits Partnership. China and Russia are fueling insurgencies in North Africa that look like wars. And, of course, China is backing Iran to the hilt in the attacks on Israel, including the one on Saturday, which included a lot of Chinese weapons. Those Iranian drones have Chinese innards, including chips. So really what we have is Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, trying to cause what he calls chaos. And he believes that he can encircle the United States from what is called the countryside. This is Mao Zedong's peasant movement playbook at work. So we're seeing that Xi Jinping, with a lot more power than Mao, actually using Maoist theories to take down the United States. And by the way, it is take down the United States.
It is. That's what I've been saying. I mean, if you look at the Cultural Revolution, he's doing the same things. Although the left in this country is taking cues from several playbooks, including Hitler's rise in Germany and Stalin's rise in Russia, taking cues from both, i.e. the disinformatia being from Russia's playbook. But as far as the Cultural Revolution, that's what China has been doing to the United States with everything from tearing down our history to confusing young people with regard to gender nonsense, dividing us by races, among other things. And then you combine it with, for instance, COVID, obviously, and we aren't holding China responsible. You saw that piece last week with Rand Paul showing us that 15 federal agencies were aware that U.S. money was going to Wuhan, China, to the lab there to create, to cleave a virus from animals into something that would be transmissible in humans. 15 agencies. So it sounds like China has a friend in Joe Biden and our deep state.
Well, and Anthony Fauci, who basically what happened in 2014, the Obama administration imposed a moratorium on the federal funding of gain-of-function research because he felt it was just too dangerous. So what did Fauci do? He took gain-of-function research and funded it at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in a place which didn't have the safeguards that the comparable labs in the U.S. were having. And so essentially what occurred was inevitable, or virtually inevitable, that there would be a pandemic started from the Wuhan Institute. And by the way, Rob, we know that at the Wuhan Institute today, they are talking about weaponizing Ebola. And Ebola is important because in that secret Chinese biological weapons facility that was discovered in Ridley, California last March,
yes.
They had the pathogen for Ebola.
What is China hoping to get out of this? Because China, obviously, want to take down America. But the United States of America is a massive buyer of their goods. I mean, we have built China's economy. We have built China's military effectively. What happens if the United States suddenly is no longer a superpower? How does China survive? Is this a case of declaring a war essentially what Roosevelt, the only thing that got us out of the Depression was a war. Do you suppose that same modus operandi is being used in China to prop up Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party?
I think Xi Jinping realizes that he's in peril at home because he's got near total accountability. He has raised the cost of losing political struggles, and now people are holding him responsible for China's problems, as they should, because he's really implementing Maoist solutions, which are making things much worse. The problem is he knows he can lose power, but he won't lose power if he does start a war, because during a war, his political enemies will not be able to get at him. And so I think that this is part of his thinking right now, which makes him incredibly dangerous.
Well, he does. And also, we literally have, a de facto war against Trump supporters and Donald Trump with politicized indictments of the president. You've got a president of the United States who has called half of America MAGA fascists, enemies of democracy, stood out in front of Independence Hall last year, bathed it in communist red. And I guess the next step would be preventing the election from happening. And I got to tell you, Gordon, I wouldn't put it past the left and the deep state and Joe Biden's Democrat Party to do something like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't do domestic politics, but I do worry about it because, you know, you can see the strains of thinking that you talked about. And clearly, the left has become obsessed with Donald Trump. And we haven't seen anything like this in our country. You have to go back to the Roosevelt years where the Republicans were obsessed with FDR. But clearly the left right now has gone beyond what occurred in the 1930s. And we've got to be very, very concerned because there's no longer a commitment to free speech. There are no longer a commitment to constitutional protections.
Let's talk about TikTok. I find it very telling that so many Democrats want to see TikTok taken down or sold. Whenever the Democrat Party, I don't trust anything the Democrat Party says. And when you see that there are a bunch of Democrats who are saying that they want to sell TikTok or end TikTok while maintaining TikTok accounts, it says to me there's something there that we don't see possibly reaching younger voters and taking away the ability of younger voters to inform themselves because TikTok is so influential. It clearly is profoundly negatively influential on America's youth, but also could be used to reach them in other ways. And to me, it sounds like the Democrat Party. I want to hear your thoughts on the Democrat Party going after TikTok when they use TikTok and what you think.
Well, first of all, no American should be on TikTok, and certainly President Biden. I mean, Biden actually in December 2022 banned TikTok from federal devices except in national security cases because we know that TikTok is dangerous. The curation algorithm, I mean, is the most sophisticated of its type, and this determines what your kids see and what they don't see. And China uses it, as you point out, not only for propaganda purposes on issues important to Beijing, but also things like promoting illegal drug use, promoting self-harm, even promoting suicide. So this is China's weapon against the United States. And one way or another, we got to make sure that Beijing no longer uses TikTok. And that would be, I think, an expropriation of it because it's been used in a crime. In 2020, it was used against the Trump campaign, and actually quite effectively. So we need to do something about it.
You've written this book, China is Going to War. You're talking about a number of things that China is doing that would broadcast this. You should be able to figure out. China's sanctions proving itself, stockpiling grain, surveying America for nuclear weapons strikes. They flew a Chinese spy balloon over our military installations. I said when that happens, this wasn't the beginning of something. This was a broadcast to the entire world that we are here. That we are here. What's China doing right now that makes you wonder what's going to happen?
Yeah, I worry about China's activities in the South China Sea, especially around Second Thomas Shoal, which is part of the Philippines. China wants to take it. The Biden administration has issued written and oral warnings that we are prepared to use force against China, and China just ignores those warnings, which means that deterrence has broken down. You know, we don't know where China will strike. It could strike Taiwan, Japan, Philippines, India. But China is extremely aggressive right now, and the Biden administration does not want to acknowledge how dangerous it is. You know, we're a far more powerful country than China, but China doesn't respect us. And I think it's because they don't think very much of Joe Biden.
Well, they shouldn't, because he's a buffoon. He's a dangerous buffoon, and I believe, I'm not certainly speaking for you, they have a puppet in him. They have somebody who is not only mentally declining, but they also have someone who has sociopathy, meaning that he doesn't feel for the American people. He doesn't feel for the Israeli people. I don't believe he does. I think he's got the perfect combination of mental infirmity and sociopathy. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, whatever it is, he could be corrupt. He could be, he could even be a traitor, or just merely misguided. But the point is that during his administration, we have seen the peace and stability at the end of the Trump administration completely disappear. We had the catastrophic withdrawal from Afghanistan, invasion of Ukraine, the going after North African states, and now against Israel in the Middle East. And as Robert Gates, the former defense secretary, said, Joe Biden has been wrong on nearly every national security and foreign policy matter of the last four decades. So whatever the reason is, Rob, we know this guy is presiding over basically the entry into World War III.
Well, I noticed that was trending on Google searches. There are a lot of Gen Zers who, you know, have, you know, we all might say that many of them have been coddled, perhaps more so, taught about pronouns and other nonsense. And they're now Googling World War III. They are concerned because my generation has been served as cannon fodder. Millennials have been served as cannon fodder in Afghanistan and Iraq. And now Gen Z is wondering whether the same thing will happen to them. And I've got two Gen Z kids, and I'm not going to allow that to happen. I am personally not going to allow that to happen, and I think we should be concerned. You know, Gordon Chang, by the way, new book is called China Going to War. I had mentioned, you know the story of Superman. Superman was a superhero, came around in the 40s, and he's a good, you know, he stood for truth, justice, the American way. And we all know what happens when Superman is either distracted or stops. The world falls into chaos, and that appears to be what is happening with the United States right now under Joe Biden's leadership.
Well, that's certainly the case, because we're seeing, you know, if you go back to the late 1930s, there were separate wars. Those wars were merged into what we now call World War II. Same thing's happening right now, and Biden is failing to use American power to prevent it. But, you know, you got to also remember there's some pretty conservative Republicans who are isolationists who don't want to use American power, who think that China and Russia can invade their neighbors and it will not affect us. That's wrong. So we've got problems on both ends of the political spectrum. But there's only one president. There's one person who is supposed to protect us, and he's not doing that. And he's presiding over, I think, the entry into the next world war. Because right now there's irresistible or virtually irresistible momentum toward it. And the American people have got to ask, who's going to stop it?
Amen. Well, I think that a good share of Americans know who is going to stop it should he be elected, and maybe that's why the left is trying so hard to take him down with these political indictments. Gordon Chang, I really appreciate your input. I mean, it is incredibly concerning, but I'm grateful that you are on the show to awaken people to the possibility of, and obviously the knowledge of what people outside our country want. You know, America, we always think that we're the most popular, but there are people who have hated America for decades. China has secretly hated America, resented America for decades, and now they're seeing a weakness and they're seeing an opportunity to chip it away. I really appreciate it. Where can people find your book, sir?
Well, I Amazon. On Twitter, I'm at Gordon, GordonGchang. And I archive all my articles for free on my website, which is www.gordonchang.com.
All right, my friend. God bless you, and thanks for being on the show. We look forward to having you on again.
Oh, thank you so much, Rob. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Well, I found Gordon Chang's interview to be troubling, of course, but I'm glad to bring it to you because it needs to be heard. We're in a very precarious position, and I'm very concerned about my kids. My kids are Gen Zers, and they're the ones who are going to have to confront all of these abuses that we've been through. I can protect myself. I'm going to fight. But we are in a very, very dangerous time. We've got a lot of people around the world. Superman is out of action. And the world's villains are attempting to take us down. So, U.S. drug shortages reach an all-time high. Cancer and diabetes patients waiting. Yeah, deadly amounts of time for life-saving drugs. Where do a lot of our meds come from? Oh, yeah, China. Yeah. One in three U.S. hospitals said they've had to skip, delay, or prescribe less medication to patients than was needed due to supply gaps, while up to 99% of pharmacists have experienced the strain firsthand. Experts have been warning about vulnerabilities in the pharmaceutical supply chain for years. This is according to the UK Daily Mail and a new study. Yeah. 323 medicines in short supply nationwide, the most since 2001. You think it's going to get better this year? You're out of your mind. You need to get in touch with a wellness company, and you need to get an emergency medical kit. You need to get an emergency medical kit. All right? You can get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, the drugs that work against COVID as a prophylaxis. I mean, legitimately works, and the government tried to silence the doctors who said, no, it really works. And they worked, and it worked. And it got the pharmaceutical companies a lot of money for a vaccine that didn't work. Billions and billions of dollars. Well, you better get these meds. If you've got jumper cables for your car, if you have extra water in your garage, if you have extra food in case of an emergency, if you have a generator, you need your emergency medical supplies and your emergency medicines that are harder and harder to get a hold of. TWC.health/Carson if you want to save 10%. TWC.health/Carson if you want to save 10% and get your emergency medical kit, your travel kit, or your pandemic kit. TWC.health/Carson. It's April the 15th.
So tune in tomorrow, Rob Carson Show. You might hear Sir Charles Barkley sing this song. Poof, there goes my money. My 1040.
Jim Gossett on stage.
The IRS, they take it all and leave nothing for me. Oh, send it to Joe Biden. By all means, do not cheat. He confiscates from working folk and gives it to deadbeats.
Nice.
Under our screwed up system, working doesn't pay.
Nope.
Just lie around like a Democrat. You're better off that way.
Nice.
Oh, poof, there goes my money. To the IRS it went.
Nice.
Just like Rob Carson says, they take every cent.
Yeah, there you go. That is Jim Gossett on stage, by the way. You can see him if you're in the Atlanta area on the 20th of this month, which is 5 days from now, at the Coastal Grill on Crabapple Road. Yeah. And if you want tickets, 678-829-SHOW. 678-829-SHOW. We have got another hour. If you thought what we've done so far is blockbuster, it only gets better. This, my friends, is The Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson for Ladder Life. One of my rules for to-dos is the simpler the task or project, the longer it takes to do it. I can tile a bathroom floor sooner than I'll replace a door hinge. I don't know why, but that's just how I roll. With regard to setting up term life insurance, it's easy with Ladder. It's 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, no paperwork when you apply for $3 million of coverage or less. Just answer a few questions about your health on your application. Ladder customers rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, and they just made the Forbes Best Life Insurance 2021 list. Just get on your laptop or phone and apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, and you'll find out if you're instantly approved. No hidden fees. Cancel at any time. Get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. Hey, life insurance doesn't get cheaper with age, so cross it off your to-do list. Go to ladderlife.com/newsmax today to see if you're instantly approved. Ladderlife.com/newsmax. Write it down. That's ladderlife.com/newsmax.
This is the Rob Carson Show.
And this is hour number three of the Rob Carson Show. We have much to get to and not so much time to get to it. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the latest sham trial against Donald Trump in New York. Andrew Cherkasky, criminal defense attorney and former federal prosecutor, joins us at the bottom of the hour to talk about Donald Trump in court for a nonsensical trial that was cobbled together by a corrupt DA and AG to interfere in an election. It's funny. They're claiming Donald Trump is trying to interfere in the 2020 election. This is what all these trials are doing. And honestly, I will look forward to the day that all of this is ended and the investigations into the left and the deep state can begin. And the tribunals for things like COVID restrictions on speech can begin as well. A damning New York Times poll found that just 25% of Americans view Biden's term as mostly good for America. And they're all NPR listeners. Yeah. New poll, only a quarter of Americans think Biden's years were good. 42% under Trump say it was really good. 33% saying under Trump, very bad. And those were all NPR listeners. Yeah. Donald Trump's presidency, by contrast, viewed in a much more favorable light since he left office. Yep. A poll by the left-leaning New York Times, 1,059 voters found perceptions about Trump's effect on the country became more positive after time. His handling of the economy in particular is remembered positively because, you know, inflation was non-existent and Joe Biden caused it to go through the ceiling. And you're suffering. You know what it's like. Yeah. Fear over a second Trump term has also subsided. Well, that's weird because, you know what, the mainstream media is trying to whip that up. Maybe that's why the mainstream media is trying to make it sound like the world is going to end. Really? Yeah. Yeah. 2016, 40% said they were scared of what Trump would do if he was elected. That figure sits at 31% right now. Again, NPR listeners, here is a montage of the left trying to make it sound like Donald Trump's second term will end the world when we all know that Joe Biden is marching us toward that now.
My predecessor and his MAGA friends want to terminate the Affordable Care Act. Terminate.
Like you guys want to terminate pregnancies.
Well, guess what? Killing millions of Americans, take them off of health care.
Take a look at the things that they're rolling back. Mm. Remember I said ages ago, you know.
Remember Whoopi Goldberg last week said the Republicans want to bring back slavery. And I said, you know, I guess they figured us out.
They, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back.
Donald Trump uses phrases like you're going to eviscerate the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator on day one.
If it's a Trump reelection, Zelensky has legitimate reason to be concerned.
My sense is Donald Trump would hand the keys over to Putin. Why fight?
Yeah, you know what? All you've got is fear, and the American people are saying you're full of crap. This is Fareed Zakaria. Listen to this. You know what the left does is they take the truth and they project what they're doing on you, right? That's a classic Stalinistic
tactic to accuse the opposition of what you're doing. And I want you to listen to the absurdity of this little tool, Fareed Zakaria.
Can I read this quote that you're talking about? It is a lack of confidence more than anything else that kills a civilization, said Clark. We can destroy ourselves by cynicism and disillusion just as effectively as by bombs.
That's exactly what the Democrat Party is doing to America. Dividing us along race lines, class lines, sex lines, pessimism, everything's terrible, everybody's going to die, the world is going to end because of global warming, climate change, global cooling, murder hornets, ozone, whole acid rain.
That's from the conclusion. You had it. That's exactly right. No, it's and I think this is the worst thing that Donald Trump has done. He's made Americans think that their country is going to hell in a handbasket.
You know it is. Southern border, anyone?
You know, there's something weird about this whole movement where they claim to be ultra-patriotic, but when you scratch the surface, they hate everything about America.
Right.
They hate everything about modern America. And how can you love your country when you actually dislike everything in it?
We're trying to save our country.
You can just get the key.
Here is, since we hate America, right? We hate America. We're not the ones trying to fundamentally change it. We're not the ones who are saying, America's racist. We got to tear down statues. America's this, America's that. America is always this and that. Bull crap. America has been the country that's brought the world out of the dark ages and ushered in everything from electricity to air travel to rock and roll. I can go on and on. Do you think this man and these people hate America? Let's just listen to this real quick for a second.
Durham probe into the Russia collusion hoax.
President Trump has just been impeached on both Article 1
and the only president of the United States to be impeached for a second
January
time.
6th committee releasing its final 845-page report.
Former President Donald Trump has been indicted.
Remember this. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. Following your convictions means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the same courage to do what is right. Relish the opportunity to be an outsider. Embrace that label. Being an outsider is fine. Embrace the label. Because it's the outsiders who change the world and who make a real and lasting difference. The more that a broken system tells you that you're wrong, the more certain you should be that you must keep pushing ahead.
This is a party that wants an outsider badly.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
You must keep pushing forward. Never, ever give up. There'll be times in your life you'll want to quit, you'll want to go home. I can't do it. I can't do it. Just never quit. You will build a future where we have the courage to chase our dreams no matter what the cynics and the doubters have to say. You will have the confidence to speak the hopes in your hearts and to express the love that stirs your souls. And you will have the faith to replace a broken establishment with a government that serves and protects the people. But they're not coming after me, they're coming after you. I'm just standing in their way.
Yeah, he really sounds like he hates America. Yeah, you bet. Meanwhile, the left is insufferable. The left is saying death to America, death to Israel, among other things. Chris Sununu is the governor of New Hampshire, and he was all in for Nikki Haley, man. He was in for Nikki Haley, and Donald Trump was Satan incarnate and everything. And it sounds like, to me, Chris Sununu is trying to do a little CYA. He was on talking to George Stephanopoulos on ABC this weekend because he is now suddenly all in for Donald Trump. And listen, I welcome back to the fold. I hope that maybe you've developed a little common sense. I doubt it. I just think you're trying to save your re-election possibilities. Because right now, as a Trump hater, you have no chance of staying governor of the state of New Hampshire.
You guys at Benny Media, my glorious stations in New Hampshire, you know this as well. You guys who listen in New Hampshire, and I'm so glad to have you on. Your state is so powerful as a beacon of the founding. New Hampshire. The heartbeat of the founders is alive and well in New Hampshire. And here is Chris Sununu this weekend, reversing course.
Well, look, in a primary, look, we fought hard in the primary. We got behind Nikki. This is the chaos that Nikki Haley and I and others warned about was going to follow Trump. That is just a complete distraction. I'd rather have Republicans on the campaign trail talking about real issues than, you know, having to talk about this stuff. It's a complete distraction. Doesn't mean he's going to lose and doesn't mean people aren't
going to... He's talking about all the political indictments that he was down with a few months ago.
...to support the Republican ticket, because right now it looks like they are, but that's the distraction we're all trying to avoid.
I'm asking you a different question because you said in the past that he should drop out if he's convicted in the classified documents case. Do you still believe that?
No. He's going to drop out after being the nominee? Of course not. You know, that's not to be expected at all. All of these cases, by the way, the average American, it's all conflated, right? We watch the stuff. We watch the details. The average American sees it more as reality TV. I'm not saying there's not real issues to bear there. Of course there are. But there's clearly politics to bear in some of these cases. That is undeniable.
Wow.
The average American just thinks it's more reality TV and prosecution of him at this point. He plays that victim card very, very well. His poll numbers only go up with this stuff.
That's called straddling the fence. Now, I'm just speaking to the men in the audience. What does it feel like to straddle a fence? That sure sounds kind of grovelly. Does it sound a little grovelly to you? It sounds a little grovelly to me.
Well, look, in a primary, look, we fought hard in the primary. We got behind Nikki. This is the chaos that Nikki Haley and I...
Yeah, we just heard that. I've got another piece here. Let me find the other piece from the governor, which sounds super-duper, super-duper grovelly. Hold on one second. Let me find it. Here it is. Oh, yes, here we go. This is the second piece from...
Chris Sununu, who worked against Donald Trump during the primaries.
Nope, that's not the one I wanted, actually. I'll find the other piece here. We've got another piece with Chris Sununu that I want to play. But it sounds like he's kind of reversing course, which is kind of strange because where's Nikki Haley? Where is Nikki Haley all of a sudden? Why is Nikki Haley no longer talking about this? Where did she disappear to? Where is her endorsement? Why is she not speaking at all? I would like to know why Nikki Haley is not is completely gone from the scene. There's no Nikki Haley anywhere to be found. It's kind of interesting. Still trying to. I had another soundbite from him, but unfortunately, my computer does some weird crap sometimes, and it's a little bit frustrating. But yeah, it sounds like he's changing his tune, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like he's changing his tune, and I think he truly is. All right. I don't know if you knew this, but House lawmakers who voted for the failed warrant requirement, FISA, will have a second chance to stop the bill today. And they should. This really, 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 really ticked me off. Because the FISA, it took seconds for our federal government to turn FISA against American citizens. Over 300,000 of us have been surveilled by the federal government, by FISA. And, of course, they used FISA to get a warrant in the FISA court, go after Donald Trump, surveil his candidacy, his presidency, his transition team, the whole deal. And yet 212 lawmakers who voted in favor of the warrant requirement that failed to pass will have a second chance to stop the bill to renew the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, Section 702, which passed on the chamber on Friday. All right. I think it's a bunch of crap. I think that anytime the federal government abuses a privilege, the privilege needs to go away. Go away. And you cannot play both sides of the fence. You cannot say we need FISA to prevent a foreign actor from harming Americans and allow the southern border to be open. That to me broadcasts that FISA is only used against American citizens.
only American citizens. Here's Rand Paul talking about that.
Absolutely not. Americans shouldn't be spied on by their own government. The Fourth Amendment was put in by our founding fathers to protect us. FISA doesn't obey the Fourth Amendment. And so Speaker Johnson was incredibly wrong. He broke the tie. He voted with the Democrats. Here we have the leader of the Republicans in the House votes with the Democrats against a warrant requirement. We also have Speaker Johnson voting for the spending package, once again, with the majority of the Democrats. As I see it now, I'm not sure there's a difference between Mike Johnson being in charge and the Democrats being in charge. The debt, the deficit this year will be $1.5 to $2 trillion, and that's Mike Johnson's bill. He put it forward. He supported it with a minority of Republicans, with a majority of Democrats. This is not using the power of the purse. This is abdicating the power of the purse.
I think it needs to go bye-bye. Let's take a break and come back. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
The place where DEI goes to D-I-E. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Here is the other soundbite I was looking for from Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, who is trying to save his political skin by suddenly saying, oh, no, all these indictments against Trump are political, even though he hoped that one of them would stick. He did. And listen, I'm all about forgiveness and all that, but when you show your true colors, and that's what Chris Sununu did, he showed his true colors. He showed that he is a pure political animal. And he was cool with Donald Trump going down in flames when Nikki Haley was still in the race. Here's your governor in New Hampshire.
So to think that this is some sort of deal breaker, again, I'll go back to where I started, where people are going to say, yep, if he's convicted, I'm walking away. That's just not going to happen. At the end of the day, they want that culture change of the Republican Party. And if we have to have Trump as the standard bearer, and the voters decided that's what they wanted, not what I wanted, but what the voters, what the Republican voters wanted, if he's going to be the standard bearer of that, we'll take it if we have to. That's how badly America wants a culture change.
So just to sum up, you support him for president even if he's convicted in classified documents. You support him for president even though you believe he contributed to an insurrection. You support him for president even though you believe he's lying about the last election. You support him for president even if he's convicted in the Manhattan case. I just want to say the answer to that is yes, correct?
Yeah, me and 51% of America.
There you go. Just trying to be on the right side of history here. Did I say that about Donald Trump? No, I didn't mean that about Donald Trump. What the hell? I mean, somebody clearly planted those thoughts in my little tiny brain. Let's go to Thomas in Baltimore and wants to talk real quick about Gordon Chang, who appeared on the show last hour. What's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
Good. What's up?
I disagree with your guess on one thing, that we're more powerful than China. I don't think that's the truth. I was in the military 28 years in the Air Force. I've seen, as far as the military, I think we're about even on the military. Yeah. I don't think we're more powerful than China. I think we'd lose the ground war. Their military is not woke like ours is.
Yeah, I know.
Their army is bigger. Their navy is bigger. I don't think, I think it's about an even match.
Thomas, I agree. And if you look at the woke nonsense that our military has been subjected to over the last decade or so, it has been I do believe China is involved in that, by the way. It has been an organized effort to weaken our military by introducing nonsense like transgender people in the military, elevating them to positions of authority in the military, even though they would never be combat ready or mentally fit to serve in the military. You look at the withdrawal of the American forces from Afghanistan. You look at the fact that Joe Biden literally told our soldiers 2 years ago how to get food stamps while barracks for people who aren't officers. They're living in rat-infested hellholes. I agree with you. In 3 years, the military has been weakened by this administration, but Donald Trump had built it up, and now we are weak compared to China. Go ahead.
I think if you were China, what would be a better time to invade Taiwan than right now?
No, there wouldn't be a better time.
This is the perfect time to do it. And I think it's going to happen within the next 6 months.
Yeah, this is what happens when Superman is no longer on duty and the United States used
to. China got involved, don't you? What happened?
Yes. Go ahead. What is your take on it?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, what happened in Korea when China got involved, we didn't lose. Mm-hmm. We didn't win.
I know. Same way with Vietnam. Thank you very much. It was a lack of commitment. It wasn't commitment by our soldiers. We are always made into cannon fodder for the people who are in power. We took over for France in Vietnam, for crying out loud. And then we ended up suffering immensely because our federal government, our defense department, they weren't in it for the troops. You know, but I'm not going to get into that. Because we could talk about it all day. It's just thoroughly frustrating. And now our military, we're being confronted all over the world. We've got Iran launching attacks on Israel. And now the United States, Joe Biden, is saying, hey, that's a victory. You were able to repel the missiles. Let it lie. So there are a lot of things happening to distract us intentionally. And I've said to this, we have to stay focused on the founders. And what is our focus? Saving our country. That's it. Saving our country. Stopping the flow over the southern border. Staying vigilant to the attacks that we are enduring from inside and out. And being ready to fight if they push it too far. Let's take a break and come back. Up next, going to talk to an attorney about what's going on in New York. Adram Tchaikovsky joins us next. Andrew, by the way, stick around. Jury selection in another trial. This one in New York City involving hush payments to a porn star, Donald Trump, in court yet again. A politicized DA, a politicized AG. And joining us to help digest all of it is a guy you've frequently seen on Newsmax and other places, Andrew Tchaikovsky, criminal defense attorney, former federal prosecutor. He joins us on the Newsmax hotline. Thanks for finding the time today, Andrew, and welcome to the show.
Oh, good afternoon. It's great to be with you.
Absolutely. Let's start with the possibility of Donald Trump getting a fair and impartial jury in Manhattan. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for him to get a fair and impartial jury. But that said, I do have faith in the jury system. It's the best system, I think, in the world and really in the history of our civilization. So we've got to have some faith in it. I think even in Manhattan, where I am right now, there are plenty of people who find sympathies for Donald Trump, or at least are not offended by him, as many of those on the left and those suffering from Trump derangement syndrome often have. So I have faith that at least some people on that jury are going to have tolerance for Donald Trump and be able to fully digest the defense in this case, which is essentially that Donald Trump did not have the criminal mind that the prosecutors are required to prove here. And they have to prove that criminal mind on two separate elements, in essentially two separate crimes here. So I do think it's going to be a tough case for Alvin Bragg to win, even in the heavily blue Manhattan district that we find ourselves in.
Well, it's certainly different with a jury involved rather than like Judge Arthur Engoron, who clearly had political bias, who found Donald Trump liable, I guess, for overestimating the property values of his properties and then fining him an untold amount of money, almost $500 million, then demanding a bond of that same amount, which is absolutely absurd, had it reduced to $175 million, which he came up with. So most definitely he would have, I guess, maybe a little bit more of a chance with a jury, particularly since Donald Trump's attorneys will also be questioning the jury pool as well. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And I think that the only way that you get to a conviction in this case is with those biased minds that we saw in a person like Judge Engoron, and that we've seen to some degree with the judge in this case, who I think should have been disqualified and should have recused himself a long time ago. But you know, we're here, and I face trials all the time in cases that should have never been brought. They're usually result in an acquittal in those cases, but the process feels incredibly unfair for the people who are going through it. And so there's no doubt that Donald Trump feels as though this is unfair. As a trial lawyer, you've got to exercise a bit of what I think of as sports psychology. And the fact is, we're here and he's doing it and he's going through it. He's got good attorneys sitting at the table with him. And he now needs to go into this unfair trial that should have never been brought with the idea that they're there to win it. And that's going to be all about their attitude. It's going to be all about their presentation and their ability to simplify the facts of this case, to break it down, remove it from politics, and talk about the idea that it is impossible to prove that Donald Trump was engaging in this behavior in order to influence or to navigate around campaign finance rules and regulations that are so obscure and absurd that even the attorneys in this case don't have a clear understanding of what the prosecutors claim Trump should have done here. So I'm deeply offended by the nature of the allegations. But that said, it's time to rock and roll. It's time for him to win.
I understand that, but it is exceedingly difficult when you've got a judge who's not recused himself and others have not really said anything about the fact that this judge has a daughter who's raised $95 million for Democrats, including pencil-necked Adam Schiff, from this case. And also, the wife of this judge has worked in Letitia James' office for 3 years. I mean, what would you do if that was your client? What would you do if your client, the AG and the DA, literally had said, we're going to find a crime, we're going to go after a man, even before any evidence was presented or any charges made? How would you approach that, Andrew? How would you approach that?
I'd go to the full extent that the law allows me to go in order to challenge the fairness and justice of what's going on. And I couldn't agree more. I've said it many times before as how fair I think this is. The idea of a judge having a wife or having a daughter, the daughter's even more deeply involved in the Democratic Party, and right there making, I think, $100 million for the Democratic Party, specifically connected to Adam Schiff. I mean, the injustice is clear, but today's day one of trial. Jurors are coming in. And so after all of my legal motions that I would file, just like Trump did here, if it goes forward, you got to put that game face on. And so that's why I'm talking about that today, because here we are. You know, we can cry over the spilled milk, and I think there's a lot to complain about if this ever goes up on appeal. But I go into my trials, even after I lose things that I think I should have won, with the game face on, ready for the jury to see a defense team confident in the facts and the case that they have at hand, and to work on navigating around those biases that people have about Donald Trump. That's what a really effective trial lawyer is particularly good at. You have to connect with those jurors. So I know we can talk all day long about how unfair it is, but now I'm kind of in game mode here. How do you just win this trial outright? How do you send an incredible message?
Well, I am certainly not wanting to solely focus on the unfairness of this trial, because it clearly is. But what about, let me ask you this. What has this shown you as far as the New York bar is concerned, with regard to the Fonnie Willis case, the Fulton County and Georgia State bar, about their silence on issues like this? Has it awakened you at all to... Or have you always known that there was politics involved in prosecutions?
Oh, I deeply know that. I practice primarily in military courts. I find it most rewarding to defend service members accused of crimes, and I've done so throughout basically my entire career. In the military, there is an unbelievable focus on the prosecution of sexual assault. Largely because of the Me Too campaign and other woke issues in the military. I've got a book coming out called Woke Warriors in the next few months, and I go deep into that, and I see the injustices where cases are brought that should have never been brought, and people, service members specifically, are brought to their knees on allegations that are preposterous. I've had a great career of winning those cases that should have never been brought, which is why I'm bringing to you the perspective that I have today, that despite the fact that this case should have never been brought, despite the fact that it is purely politics that have us going to trial just a few months ahead of a presidential election, literally interfering with the election, despite Trump's desire for a delay until after the election, that you can win these cases, you can go in, and you can actually have jurors who are reasonable in their minds, and that's the idea here today. We got to find reasonable people to see what's really going on. And that's why I want to, why I'm advocating for a victory for Donald Trump here, because I think that that's right and just, and it's unfortunate that the judge and the larger bar, whether that's in New York or whether that's in Georgia, that they're standing behind these rogue prosecutors in bringing these outrageous charges. now we turn to the jury, and we have to have faith in that jury. And I want to, because I think that the right outcome here would be an acquittal. I've gone deep in all the facts of this case. I'm very confident in Donald Trump's righteousness in with regard to these claims.
Yes, sir.
So
yeah.
That's kind of my perspective as in the of the courtroom trial lawyer.
Absolutely. What points would you be driving home every single day during this trial with the jury? What would your arsenal contain of, what would you go after? What would be, like I said, there's something that's going to be repeated throughout this trial. There is one theme that is going to be, as well as obviously presentation of evidence. But what would you be trying to drive home to that jury every single day in that courtroom?
It's all about what is on Donald Trump's mind at the time that he engages in the payment to Stormy Daniels to hush her extortionist claims. And so I would focus on the extortionist efforts of Stormy Daniels in the first place, the fact that her claims have never been corroborated by any other type of evidence, and the idea that business people every day across this nation pay nuisance fees to get rid of ridiculous allegations that they would rather put a little bit of money towards instead of huge legal bills and the loss of reputation along the way. Because, you know, if these allegations come forward, some people will believe it and reputation will be harmed. So Donald Trump has to deviate from the claim that this was all about the election and focus on the fact that this was about him preserving his reputation as an individual, as a celebrity, and as a business person. Because regardless of what happened in the 2016 election, he was going to continue along to be the successful business person that he was. And so if he was intending to pay that bill to Stormy Daniels, that nuisance fee, in order to preserve merely his own reputation or to preserve the reputation of his business, as opposed to doing it for purposes of the campaign, he wins. And the prosecution has to prove that on two levels, that both he intended to commit fraud on his books, as well as do so in order to commit another crime, specifically campaign finance related. That's a very difficult task to prove a person's intent on two layers, and the witness they have to prove that, fraudster,
yeah.
Michael Cohen.
Exactly.
So I
yes.
think that is difficult. That is a difficult task for Alvin Bragg. If the jury is comprised of neutral and unbiased individuals, I don't care who they voted for.
Now, they're saying this case could take 6 weeks. Do you suppose it will go the distance?
I think it's going to take a long time to see the jury, maybe the beginning of May. It's going to be arduous every day, 100 people at a time coming in and out. Got to find those right jurors. Once it starts, I think it's actually going to be just a week or two actually on the record with real witnesses, but it is going to be something not to miss, because I think the cross-examination of these witnesses is going to be fierce, and the prosecutors are going to have to prove what they think Donald Trump should have put in his books. He put in his books that this was for legal services or a legal retainer. Actually, a low-level employee put that in the books. But
gotcha.
That's what he was putting in the books. They have to prove that he should have put something else in there. I don't know what he should have put in there. Should it have been, what if he had written in there legal baloney or legal extortion plot against me? I don't know what a businessman puts in their books when they're being extorted under false and defamatory claims other than legal services. And that's what he put in his book. So I think that the witnesses are going to really have a difficult time explaining that this was some sort of criminal scheme as opposed to a business decision to get rid of a nuisance claim.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with tax deductibility. I mean, what would you rather have in your books, legal services or paying off a blackmail from an ex-porn star? Yeah, I think you could write the other one off, Andrew. Andrew, well, I do appreciate.
What's most interesting is Trump did not write off these legal services.
Oh, okay.
He didn't commit tax fraud. And so that's one more piece of evidence in Trump's favor here.
Gotcha. Andrew, I appreciate your perspective, and I've really enjoyed having you on. I'd love to have you on as this trial continues. Where can people find you and follow you on social media?
Well, they can find me on Instagram. Find me on X, Cherkasky Law. You can find me on True Social at the same handle. Reach out to me. I would love to be on anytime you need any sort of legal analysis. It's been great to be on with you.
I do. I really do. And I can appreciate your focusing on the cards that have been dealt. I do appreciate what you've said there with regard to winning this case. I really enjoy your forward thinking with regard to this case. The case is bull crap. Don't get me wrong. But you, sometimes you are handled a shovel of bleep, and you got to do something with it. So I appreciate you, sir.
You got it. He's got to fight, and he's going to. I think he'll win.
Come on. Come on. All right. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You know, yeah. And listen, I'm not here to just sit and bitch and whine about the ridiculousness of this. We can focus on that if the, you know, the jury comes up with a nonsensical guilty verdict and they have to appeal the case. You can talk about the judge and all that. But sooner or later, there's going to be hell to pay. I'm not talking about Joe Biden's hair. Hell to pay. I know, I use that. But there is going to be hell to pay for all of this, for all of this malfeasance. The positive is, no matter what happens, it doesn't matter to the people who are going to vote for Donald Trump and the people who are going to put him in the White House the next time. All it is going to do is make him stronger. The American people get it. They understand where we are as a country. They see the decay of our country, of our society, the southern border. The possibility of war now in the Middle East, the possibility of war with China, all of these things, the terrible economy, people are suffering. They see it all. They know that Joe Biden is the reason for it. And they also know that Donald Trump is the guy who can turn us around. So none of this is working. They still think it is. They're still pursuing this with fervor, thinking it's going to make a difference. But at this point, all of the effectiveness of any guilty verdict is out the window. It's a waste of time. No matter what happens in this case, guilty, innocent, or otherwise, Donald Trump in prison or otherwise, he's going to continue to be out in front of Joe Biden, and we need to remain positive about all of it, because good is going to win. And the left and the Democrat Party, they sold their souls to Satan a long time ago. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. I got to tell you, I think Andrew Cherkasky is the real deal. I really enjoyed his take on things. We're going to have experts on this week to talk about this sham trial in New York. And, you know, God willing, there will be some people on the jury pool who will recognize this this nonsense. South American gangs armed with knives are running wild on Los Angeles highways, targeting terrified jewelers in brazen daytime robbery, slashing tires, shattering windows, even planting trackers on their cars. South American gangs with knives. They brazenly slashed the tires. One jeweler, Stacy Nolan Soper, found herself in danger October the 18th. She drove home from downtown L.A.'s jewelry district with a bag of valuable merchandise. Soper's vehicle was suddenly ambushed by mass thieves on the ramp from westbound 10 freeway to the southbound 405. Organized crime and theft have become an increasing problem for dim-led city, with officials blaming zero cash bail policies. This escalating trend, including additional thefts in Orange County, reveal a coordinated effort by South American gangs. Our federal government isn't going to protect you. You're going to have to protect yourself. Our federal government is allowing a wholesale invasion of our country. It is beyond a Trojan horse. And we need to stay focused. That's all I got to say. A New York man arrested for randomly punching a 9-year-old girl in New York's Grand Central Station on Saturday has been released without bail. Can you imagine this little girl? Out of nowhere, this monster punches her in the face, sends her to the hospital. Approached without warning, punched the girl in the face. That's a memory that little girl's going to take with her the rest of her life. This jackass also punched a 54-year-old woman, broke her nose at Grand Central Terminal. Going to take a beat down. If law enforcement can't do anything about it, a good citizen's going to have to do it. They're going to have to recognize this. They're going to have to say, it's beat down time. Beat down time. Let's wrap things up on a positive. This is my friend Keith Wilson with Jim Gossett coming up with this.
Joe wants to let illegals in.
Mass migration.
In hopes that they will vote for him again. Joe is allowing them all to stay. 'Cause he knows he can't win any other way. Joe wants to see mass migration. He wants to destroy this nation. There's no other explanation.
Nice.
For illegal immigration from Mexico or a Haitian. The ultimate exploitation. He's given expectations. He's given my bowels inflammation. Close your eyes.
Wow.
To this.
We're going to post that on social media. That is brand new from Keith Wilson and Jim Gossett doing the lyrics on that. By the way, Jim Gossett's show in Atlanta coming up on the 20th is nearly sold out. 678-829-SHOW. 678-829-SHOW. If you want to get in the room, it's going to be amazing. And I promise you, he will make you laugh. And we need that more than anything right now. Let's take a break and come back. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. Podcast for this show is going to be up shortly. Make sure to go to your favorite podcast platform and look up The Rob Carson Show. Subscribe and share, or ask Alexa to play it, because this is a rock solid Monday show. Have a glorious day. God bless America. God bless and save Israel. And until tomorrow, do not catch the stoop.